Legend has it that the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther, upon being asked by a friend what his plans for the next day were, responded, "Work, work, from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours of the day in prayer." Work, work, from early till late. I have so much to do for my Father's glory that I'm going to spend the first three, so much to do, so much work, that I'll spend the first 3 hours of the day in prayer. City Light Church, that's a bit of how I feel about our coming year together. Our Father has given us as a church family so many desires for good and plans for his glory this year that our only hope is to give our greatest attention, our greatest focus, not to the things that we want to accomplish, but to learning to ask our Father for everything that we need. Because Jesus says, if we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit, but apart from him, we can do nothing. We have so much that God's put our hand to for his glory that our only hope in accomplishing it is to become a praying church. And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 26, 39 is the perfect model to teach us how to ask our Father for our desires for good and our plans for his glory as a church this year. So let's look at Jesus' prayer again, but let's look at it as a model for our praying. It says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" So in this brief prayer, Jesus models two sides to prayerful asking, and we're going to live by this model this year. See, on the one hand, on the one side, the Lord Jesus, like a child, asks his Father boldly for what he wants. "Let the cup of crucifixion on a Roman cross pass from me." He asks boldly. That's one side of good asking. But then notice on the other hand, the Lord Jesus surrenders his will completely to the Father's. He says, "Let this cup pass nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." See, God is his Father, so he asks boldly. But God is his Father in heaven, and so he surrenders completely. That's a model for a praying church. And that brings me not only to the big idea of our passage, but to the one thing that we're going to give particular focus to this year. Big idea: ask boldly, surrender completely. Ask boldly, surrender completely. City Light, we have so many plans for good and so many desires for God's glory that we're just going to be toast if what we do this year is focus on accomplishing all those things. No, we're going to learn to become a praying church that asks boldly and surrenders completely, because it's only our Father who will accomplish these things through us. And so this morning, we're going to take our big focus, ask boldly, surrender completely, in two parts. First, ask boldly. Second, surrender completely. And then once we've covered those two, I'm going to explain why the other pastors and I think that this is actually the year to focus on this exact thing: asking boldly, surrendering completely. So let's begin with the first part of asking. Ask boldly. Let's look again at Jesus' model for prayer. Matthew 26, 39 says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.'" Now, I love the directness of the Lord Jesus' prayer. It's like when my children want something that they know only I can give. Jesus just asks his Father boldly for exactly what he wants. He asks boldly because God is his father, and he knows his father wants to give him good gifts. So he asks boldly. But, you know, you can look at that, and if you're a little skeptical, you're going to go, okay, yeah, that's nice. Jesus asks boldly, but, you know, that is God's only begotten son, begotten, not made, eternal. Of course, he can ask his father boldly. Like, why can I? Why can I ask boldly? Well, the reason why you and I can follow Jesus' model and ask our father boldly is because the heart of the gospel is adoption. The heart of the gospel is adoption. See, if you're somewhat new to Christianity, Christianity is not like every other religion or life philosophy. Every other religion or life philosophy is all about what you need to do. It's good advice about what you need to get done. Christianity is totally different. It's good news, gospel. It's good news about what God has done in sending his only son to live, die, and rise for your sins so that anyone, anywhere who believes in him can actually be adopted as his son or daughter forever. Adoption is the heart of the gospel, and it's the doctrine of adoption by which Jesus invites us to call God our Father and to ask him boldly because he loves to give good gifts to his children who ask him. So Jesus is not only a model for asking our Father boldly, Jesus also invites us into it. He invites us to ask boldly. I love the way that Paul Miller puts it in his book, A Praying Life. He writes, all of Jesus' teaching on prayer in the Gospels can be summarized with one word, ask. His greatest concern is that our failure or reluctance to ask keeps us distant from God. But that is not the only reason he tells us to ask anything. God wants to give us good gifts. He loves to give. Friends, it is no great act of faith to sort of keep your heart from God by not asking everything that you desire for good and for his glory. No, he's our Father. He loves for us to ask. Listen to Jesus' invitation in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? You see, fathers don't do that sort of thing. Now, my son Soren, on the other hand, he does that sort of thing. This last April Fool's Day, my son Soren caught a mouse on a sticky trap in our basement. He decided that the best thing he could do with that mouse would be to attach like a baseball with a pulley to it and put it into my protein powder container. Then I come down the steps, and as innocent as Soren can say, Daddy, could I have one of those protein shakes that you have after you work out? Like, sure, buddy. Yeah, absolutely. I pull this thing up, and dangling is a living mouse on the trap. Jesus is saying, kids might do that, but fathers don't. And that's so true. Like, he can do that to me, but I would never reverse it. And so Jesus concludes then, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Friends, our Father loves to give us good gifts because it shows off his generosity and it completes our joy. Jesus invites us, John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. He says, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. It's almost as though Jesus is daring us. Ask your Father boldly. Friends, we have so many desires for good and plans for God's glory that the one thing we can focus on this year that we must, is learning to ask boldly. Now, Asking boldly can sound like a little nebulous at first, like what's that actually look like? Frankly, asking boldly can begin with simple things. Simple, yet significant. And so, for example, there's a family in this church, some of you know the McAllisters, Meek and Brittany. They have four adopted kids, and they have a baby that might be like being born right now. Okay. And Meek and Brittany just realized, you know, their three younger kids are starting in a brand new school this year. Their three younger adopted kids. And they said, you know, since we're gonna bring a fifth child into this home, it would be so great if the kids' transition to a new school went well. And they said, specifically, one of their adopted daughters, they said, if we're going to bring this fifth child into this home, we need this kid to make friends right off the bat at the new school. Okay, so what did they do? They started asking boldly. Just started praying, asking the Father, would you give, especially this daughter of ours, friends right away, like not in week three, right now. First day happens, they're having, you know, dinner or something after the first day of school, and they ask this, the one daughter that they particularly prayed for, how was the first day? Did you make any friends? Now, how was it? You know what she said? First day was great. I made 1,000 friends today. I mean, that is our Father. He loves to give good, simple gifts to his children who ask. Now, asking boldly can also include material things because our Father owns everything. This is his world. I mean, some of you remember that when we first found out as a church family that we couldn't stay here at Mishkan Shalom Synagogue long term, and we had no prospects for where we could go as a church family, we just started praying. It was actually like most Sunday mornings, we would just take a time like, we don't know how we're gonna get through this. Let's just start praying. Everyone, let's pray all together. Let's pray out loud. Let's pray boldly. And through the praying, God did what we couldn't do after all this time of working at it. He provided a building that we now own on Main Street that's more than we could ask or imagine. It's our Father's world, so we ask boldly. Now, of course, bold asking includes sort of like fighting in prayer for more people to become worshipers of the one true God through Jesus Christ. And that kind of bold praying, it reminds me of the missionary James Frazier. James Frazier was a missionary to the Lisu people. I think they were in southern China. He started preaching the gospel among the Lisu around 1911. After 5 years of preaching the gospel among them, he had like very few converts, just a handful. And he was discouraged by it, so he started organizing people from England, where he was from, to pray, just pray for the Lisu people. And he wanted like thousands of them to come to know Jesus, but he says that he only had enough faith to pray for 200 families. So he just started getting all these people praying, 200 Lisu families would come to faith in Jesus. And then after another 5 years, he had almost no converts. And so he decided that he was going to resign. But before he did, he said, I'm going to take one last journey into the village and preach. And in that last trip in, God began to work. Within 2 months, 129 Lisu families had come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, he was praying for 200, but Frazier actually tragically died of malaria at the age of 52. But one century later, there are about 1.5 million Lisu in China. 1.3 million of them are professing believers in Jesus Christ. He asked boldly, and God worked through the asking in ways that we can't manufacture and we can't produce on our own. Friends, that's the year ahead. We have so many desires for good and plans for God's glory that we're going to give our attention, our greatest focus, not to accomplishing those things, but to asking our Father boldly because he can do beyond what we can ask or imagine. So the first part is ask boldly. But there's a second part, a second side to the prayer coin, and that's surrender completely. We're going to live by first asking boldly, but along with it, surrender completely. And so let's turn to the Lord Jesus' model for asking one more time. Matthew 26, 39 says, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So the Lord Jesus asked boldly and surrendered completely because he trusted his Father's goodness and his greatness, that the Father sees and knows and can be trusted. And so he asked boldly and he surrendered completely. I love the way Paul Miller puts it. He says, at the center of self-will is me, carving a world in my image. At the center of prayer is God, carving me in his Son's image. Ask boldly, surrender completely. Now, let me be clear. Surrendering completely doesn't mean you undo your bold asking with a bunch of sort of timid prayers. You know, surrender completely is just not, it's not tacking on a perfunctory, if your will, at the end of your prayers. And surrendering completely is not sort of hedging your bets when you pray, where you qualify your prayers to the point that you're really, you say, if it be your will, like maybe if it's pleasing to you, I'm not even sure that I want it, but you know, if you want to do it, maybe we could do this sort of thing. It's like, that's not faith. That's hedging your bets. That's not what surrender completely is. No, surrender completely is asking boldly while loving God more than the thing you're asking for. So asking boldly is coming to God regularly, consistently, like the persistent widow in Luke 18, that just, you give God no rest. You ask specifically for what you want him to do for your good and his glory. But you love him more than the thing you're asking for. And you promise to worship him. Whether he gives you exactly what you asked for, or as Tim Keller used to say, what you would have asked for if you knew everything he knows. Surrender completely often means you invite other people in to pray as well. That way they can check your heart on your prayers and they can come along with you. But surrender completely isn't hedging your bets. It's asking regularly, persistently, for your Father to do exactly what you're longing for your good and his glory, but it's loving him with a heart of surrender even more than the thing that you're praying for. Now, there's one wonderful, very practical way to do this that you can see throughout the Bible. Like if you read some of the prayers in the Bible, and you can Google these, whether they're Abraham's prayers or Moses' prayers or Solomon's prayers or the prayers of the apostles in the New Testament, often when they ask boldly for something, and this is a great way to surrender completely, they front load their bold prayers with praise. That's a great way to surrender completely. Like if you read some of these prayers, you'll hear, they go, Sovereign God, who's creator of all things, you're powerful above all else, nothing can stop your hand, nothing can sway your promises, you always come through, you're always good, you're always near. Would you please? And then they ask for exactly what they want. Why do they do that? That's surrendering completely. It's recognizing God's in charge. God is only capable of answering this prayer. And in praising his character, you begin to more and more pray things in line with his priorities. Front load your bold asking with praise. It's a great way to surrender completely.